Smells like shoe polish.
Be quiet. We have a promo to do. I'm Jeff Ferry, and this is my hetero podcast mate, Chris Durkach. We are the hosts of the Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We break down the Kevin Smith films featuring Jay and Silent Bob 1 minute at a time, starting with Clerks.
I have a hockey game at 12.
Please. So if you've ever worked a job behind the counter discussing Star Wars while slinging coffee, nudie mags, and cigarettes...
Cancer merchant.
Cool down. Or if you ever leaned outside a convenience store, secretly hated all your customers, or closed your place of business to attend a funeral, you should join us at Jay and Silent Bob Minute on DuelingGenre.com as we discuss The Milkmaids, Berserkers, and the significance of the number 37.
In a row?
Come for the Clerks, and stay for the rest of the Jay and Silent Bob Minute fun. Chris?
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies not covered by other Movie by Minute podcasts. And I am ending, finally, Dracula 79. I've been on this journey, according to a website that voted it one of the top 25 best vampire podcasts on the internet, which I do appreciate. However, I want to point out 12 of those podcasts are dedicated to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So that number seems a little bit ridiculous. I'm in the top 20, not in the bottom single digits. So I just want to point out that I'm probably one of the best podcasts about vampires out there, only because we do not need 12 podcasts about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It was 7 seasons of a show and 1 spinoff. That's it. And like at least 100 comic books and novels. But I digress. There are some good Buffy podcasts out there, but I don't think we need 12. Just like we didn't need 100 Walking Dead podcasts, according to iTunes. We had 100 Walking Dead podcasts at one point, which is ridiculous. So joining me for this episode of the last 15 minutes of Dracula 79, introduce yourself.
Hello again, I'm Loz Cadman. I am the self-published author of the vampire series Midnight Devotion, which is available on Amazon and or other online bookstores. So thank you for having me back here for the final part of the film.
So we are going to begin these 5 minutes. Now, if you're listening to these 5 minutes, there was another 5 minutes that was uploaded to the internet, and I had screwed up badly about where my place was in the echelon of different minutes for this movie. Now, this is minutes on the counter of the DVD or streaming service, minutes 0135 to 140. So this is minutes 95 to 100, and we begin the 5 minutes with Dracula carrying Lucy away, and it ends with a giant shot of Scarborough. Now, I don't live in England, but what can you tell me about this town that they do the giant shot of, which, by the way, is mostly a matte painting, and the only thing that's real is apparently, like, the boats.
Scarborough is quite a popular place, especially when you're doing like your staycations where you're holidaying within the UK. It's also, I've had to look this up, about 35 to 40 minutes away by car from Whitby. So in the movie, it's a bit odd to see how it's like really dark 1 minute, and then in the next scene it's quite light, even though it's like a 35 minute car journey away. But Scarborough is one of the most popular holiday destinations within the UK, for definite.
Fantastic. Does it look like this that we see in the last shot of the film, of the 5 minutes?
It does a bit, yeah. Like, I took a look at a few photos. The bay looks pretty much the same, definitely. But obviously, like, this takes place in, like, the early 1910s, and a lot has changed over time, for definite.
So Dracula carries Lucy away, and he tells her to come with him, but he wants to let her go so she can live out her mortal life without being a bloodsucker, and they'll meet up in some other time period.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah, pretty much. It was just like a nice, like, little touching scene where, like, they're in the castle, like, about to make their escape, and like they're holding each other and saying, we will create more of our kind. So they're pretty much like planning their escape to go to a different country and just living out their lives without the interference of our main characters.
There's this chase scene that happens through the whole thing. And in my notes for the film, I put the best chase scene since The French Connection, because The French Connection had only just come out a few years prior to this, and it had an unbelievable chase scene in New York City.
Oh, really? It's not a movie I'm familiar with, but I do agree it is quite an intense, like, fight, like driving scene and the chase scene. It was quite an intense one.
It's about a couple cops going after some criminals. This is the movie I think Gene Hackman won an Academy Award for. He would go on to be in multiple other great films like Hoosiers, and he played Lex Luthor in Superman, Superman 2, and Superman 4. And also John Schneider. No, not John Schneider. What is his name? The actor from Jaws who fought the shark.
I know who you're talking about. I do not remember the
Roy
name
Schneider.
Myself.
Roy Schneider.
That's the name, yes.
John Schneider's from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Roy Schneider plays Martin Brody in Jaws, but he is the partner to Gene Hackman's character in The French Connection. And there's this giant chase scene between Gene Hackman and like a train, and it goes like in and around the city and everything. It's incredible. The way it was shot is unbelievable. However, so this is a car, which is very early years of an automobile industry, 1912 Hispano Souza Alfonso X3, chasing down a horse-drawn carriage.
It reminds me of the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car, I'm not going to lie. So all I kept thinking about was, is this the same make and model as the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car that we're seeing at the moment? Because my car knowledge is not that great.
Neither is mine. I'm not a car guy at all. I don't know much about this vehicle. I'm going to look it up right now. If you have any other notes about this this chase scene or anything, please go on while I look up this car.
Yeah, after the car crashes, I was wondering if there was like a deleted scene or something, because I was wondering, you know, they have to walk 10 miles from outside of Scarborough. So I'm guessing it'd be somewhere along the lines of maybe, I'm trying to remember the name, like Ravenir, I think it's called, which is like 10 miles outside of Scarborough. So, and then they arrive at Scarborough in a vehicle. So I don't know if they had to do like a hitch up with someone along the way that they just chose to remove from the movie. So that's something I'm quite curious about. I can't really find anything that says that there's a deleted scene about that, because 10 miles, it's about 4 hours in by foot, so there would be no definite way for them to get to Scarborough on time without, you know, a vehicle to get there.
So the car, as I said, this 1912 Hispano Souza from the museum car website, Spanish Swiss is the literal translation of Hispano Souza, and the Alfonso for whom this particular model was named was the king of Spain. Chief engineer Mark Burgett was the Swiss connection. That his nationality was honored in naming of the Barcelona company in 1904 was an act of supreme precedence. Not only would the then 26-year-old Burgett be responsible for every Hispano Souza design for the next 3 decades, but he would ever after be regarded as among the most talented automobile engineers in history. Alfonso X3 was Brigitte's patron, Spain's last monarch, whose exile in 1931 heralded in a 44-year-long Republican interregnum punctuated by bitter civil war, began acquiring Hispanos for the Royal Garage in 1907, although the carriage trade cars from the firm was producing was a bit tame for its taste. In 1909, designed a long-stroke T-headed four-cylinder engine for use in in racing, dominated at the time by French one- and two-cylinder cars. In 1910, Hispano won the prestigious Coupe d'Auto race in Belize at speed 8 miles per hour faster than the year previous. The victory spelled finis to singles and twins to competition henceforth, and suggested the wisdom of marketing a production version of the winner. Alfonso X3 cheerfully agreed to lend his name to the new Hispano Suiza model. Whatever one's definition of a sports car, the Alfonso was among Europe's first. It was purpose-built, high-performance, two-seater production automobile, not a former Grand Prix car sold to a sportsman or a sports tour with room for five. A genuine 75-mile-per-hour car with a showroom floor, the Alfonso was capable of 90 miles per hour in race tune, and owner raced his. While King Alfonso himself did not, he relished fast drives into the countryside like a cannonball in a cloud of smoke, sometimes a thoroughly frightened chauffeur at his side, other times alone for pursuits that had nothing to do with the affairs of state. And there's, okay, like, obviously, versions of this in many car museums. You can go on the website. There's a, on the website I'm talking about, which again is Museum Reinvents, the hell is this website? Museum.reinvents.org, the collection 1912 Hispano Suiza. There's a 3D viewing of the vehicle, so you can drag your mouse around, you can look inside the car and look on the outside. So it's one of those kind of 3D images that allows you to tour the image without just looking at it from one angle.
No, so the perfect website for car enthusiasts.
Yes, there's a lot of other cars on this website that allow you to do the 3D imaging, turn the image around and around and go up and down and things like that. I think that's pretty cool if you're a car enthusiast. I'm sure some of the cars I'm more familiar with, like Kit's, car from Knight Rider or the Batmobile, is probably on there as well. So, so there's this giant chase scene between them. They said that this chase scene, according to the director, John Badham, he talks about how this chase scene took forever to film. It took days and days and days because they had to keep changing the horses out because the horses were constantly getting tired because of the rehearsals and all the other things. It took them almost 2 weeks, he believes, to film this entire chase scene.
Wow, I didn't know that.
A lot for a scene. That's a lot. Yeah. We're not talking like one giant epic battle fight like in the Avengers. No. We're talking like a chase scene through the woods with the horses. And they had to make sure, obviously, the horses looked exactly like the other horses. So they had to constantly go after horses that were identical. The carriage and the driver could change. The carriage needed to be the same, so they just used the same carriage. The driver could change out because they weren't focused on him too much. But the horses, he said sometimes they had a hard time trying to find the horse that was identical to the other one, or they had to wait. The trainer told them that you have to wait, give the horse a day of complete rest before you can use it again.
Yeah, see, like, if you hadn't told me that, I wouldn't have known that because they've done such a good job of hiding the continuity of that.
Right.
So kudos to them for not only doing animal care, but also doing the consistency, like, notch spot on.
Right. And again, we end our 5 minutes at this matte painting of Scarsborough, which is pretty fantastic looking. And that's before we begin the next 5 minutes where they're about to board the boat. So we're going to end the podcast there. Laws, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook as Loz Cadman author page. You can find me on Twitter at Loz Cadman. And you can find me on Instagram at cherry_rabbit_Loz.
And you can find me over on the Radio Horror Network with all my other podcasts, some horror related like the Dead TV podcast or Goth Girl Horror, the Hack Slash podcast. We are going to be ending Dracula 79 and taking a bit of a break, but I will be back for the month of May. The month of June to talk about From Dusk Till Dawn, the original movie, and we got some great guests lined up for that as well. Don't forget, you can also send me an email, thatradiohorror@gmail.com, and thank you everyone for tuning in to the Vampire Movie Minute podcast here on the Radio Horror Network.